So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 14. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Lando Calrissian. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hello.
And we also have Eric Skull returning.
Hey, everybody.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. So welcome, everyone.
Hey, great to be here.
Glad to have you back, Eric. I'm excited to see you here again.
It's good. I wanted to intro myself with a Chewbacca yell from wearing the mask and just be like, "Hey guys, I'm back with the mask." But I actually didn't manage to get a mask. So
yeah, that Chewbacca mask is going all over the place now. It's super expensive if you buy it from Amazon. It's like 60 or 70 bucks now.
Maybe one day in the future, I'll do my intro on this podcast with the Chewbacca mask.
But, you know, I do a pretty good Chewbacca yell. You know,
yeah,
not quite,
okay.
Not quite,
there you go.
Not quite the mask, but you know, it's I'm a big guy, so I can do it.
So will you intro me today
to
this
ready?
Episode?
Here we go.
Yep, okay.
And welcome back, Eric Skull. There it goes, right?
Thanks, Chewy.
All right. There are a few things before we get into the news. Let's talk about Indie PopCon. Danya, you want to take it away?
Sure. So, again, we are going to be there from June 17th to the 19th, and that's at the Indianapolis Convention Center. We're going to be doing loads of things, so we will obviously be there. We will be doing a live video podcast, which we're still working out details on that. But we are also going to be doing a panel, which is on Friday at 4, and that's going to be with the Indiana 501st, and we're also going to have lots of really cool merchandise that you can come and get from us.
It's pretty cool. I ordered it all
is
today.
Really cool.
So, yeah.
I'm excited. Guys, can I get in on this merchandise?
Yes, yes. I already got one for you. I got a t-shirt for you, Eric.
I was going to say, I'll volunteer to hand it out, in air quotes, at the con. I'm super excited because I will be in attendance with you guys, and Resistance Radio and the 501st are going to absolutely Star Wars the heck out of that place.
Of course we are. I actually, you know, we even had a member of the 501st on this podcast once, and I know he'll be there. He even just finished up a, I don't know if you guys saw Brent's Facebook, but he just finished up a Jawa costume. So he'll be
not only
in a Stormtrooper outfit, but he'll be doing a little Utini type Jawa outfit action. So I'm like, that's going to be awesome. I'm like, Brent, you should just hang out by the booth the whole time, you know, not walk around, you know. And PopCon, but yeah.
We need a Jawa and a Resistance Radio shirt.
That's yeah, I think.
Oh
yeah,
my god!
I'm sure it will probably amazing. Happen at some point. All right.
So
well, let's talk about the news. There's some pretty cool stuff this week. Some interesting things. I will say we had some rebel spies from Oblivion State sneak onto a location set for the Millennium Falcon. They did take some amazing photos. Did you guys get a chance to look at those photos?
No.
Oh man, you got to look at them. So it's really cool. They've even like. Just to give you guys an idea, the set here, it definitely looks like it's from Octu, what was at the end of The Force Awakens. The Millennium Falcon externally is looks like it's complete externally. Internally, it's obviously not done, which they'll probably do in a soundstage. But externally, it looks like it's done. There's a few things that you think they might need to touch up. But even the ground that the ship is sitting on is fake. So it's pretty cool. And they went through and these guys snuck on the set, which I don't recommend anyone doing, but definitely to get those pictures, definitely do it. And what's really cool is you can even see like the steps that Rey starts to walk up to go ahead and do, you know, at the end, final scene of The Force Awakens. So it's definitely worth taking a look at those pictures because it's pretty cool.
Wow,
they jumped the fence, they climbed in, you know, they went to.
These fearless people, dude. They're in the cockpit. They're in the. Oh.
Well, and you
like the pictures are cool. I'm just still really mad that they did this. Like, I'm very conflicted.
No, I'm conflicted too, and I get it. But like, it's the bad part is like you can still see that it's a set in progress. There's a shot where you see the whole Millennium Falcon in the ground and everything. It looks great. And then behind it, you see all the construction material, green screen, blue screen tarps, all these things. And it's like, guys, if you ruined any of this and put, you know, the film behind by a little bit, you're going to have a lot of fans really mad at you. The pictures are cool, but, you know.
No, that's true. It's always a balancing act, isn't it? It's like, well, at what point will the studio just, like, they'll obviously be drumming up security after this leak because they can't have anything worse, you know, plot essential, get spoiled too. Like, the Millennium Falcon, at least, like, we're familiar enough with it. This is, like, a really cool find. They were able to do this. But, you know, at one point, I hope, you know, there isn't sort of a negative relationship that develops between the studio and, like, fans en masse. But I don't think that'll be the case.
Yeah, I don't think so. And in all honesty, compared to, like, story-wise, you know, maybe if it was for Force Awakens, seeing the Falcon like this before it came out, it would have been, like, a big spoiler because we weren't even 100% sure the Falcon would come back till we saw that teaser.
Yeah.
You know, with it. But now, you know, now it's, you know, we obviously know it's back. It's at the very end of, you know, The Force Awakens. We know that's where the film picks up right off that, after that. So you know you're going to see it. And literally it's in the act two. So it's not like it's a, you know, desert setting or a lava planet setting or anything that's going to give us like, oh man, they must be going to this planet or something different. Like story-wise, it's literally, okay, it's, you know, could have been left over from The Force Awakens if we didn't know they were filming for episode 8 right now.
Yeah, it just, there's a certain amount of, like, entitlement to it, like, them thinking that it's, this is completely okay to go and do that and jump the fence and go on to what is a closed set.
Yeah, you know, for something that, you know, it's a sense of respect for, the production that we, you know, that we all love.
I think that's the bit that gets me the most, is that as a fan, I love seeing stuff in progress. I love seeing how the films come together. And obviously, I love Star Wars, but would I ever go and do that? Would I jump a fence and
He took his lightsaber with him is the thing. The last photo that I'm seeing is him with a lightsaber.
He said it was, you know, thanks to, I don't remember the name of the guy, but thanks to him for at least remembering to bring his Jedi cloak and lightsaber.
You know, I mean, you know, that crosses the line to me, like premeditation. Is like, okay, you want a cool photo. The thing is, it's so close up, it's not even that good a photo. Like, the larger shots of, like, the entire top of the Millennium Falcon, those are amazing.
Those look awesome. Even, like, the long shots of, like, the stairway and everything like that, and the tree that's dead. Like, but the close-up shots are kind of like,
it's like, what? You can't even really tell what it is. So it's funny, but it's a little misguided. But I do just have to say, for how old she is, the Millennium Falcon looks great, and it's good to see it and excited.
Not a day over, you know, 50 years old.
Yeah, or whatever it is in the star time.
I just know it's been around for a while, long time. Anyway, moving on. So we actually got some really cool Celebration news. We have the return of the Star Wars Celebration pin training program. The Europe pin set will feature pins based on the Star Wars emojis from the official Star Wars app, which if you guys remember, Danya flipped out when I told her about these. So there's 40 unique Star Wars character pins spanning the entire Star Wars galaxy with supposedly some surprising variants to different ones. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see, like, you know, like a cloud, you know, Bespin Luke Skywalker or something just totally different than what we normally see. But definitely take a look at the website for them and pre-order them if you are going to Celebration 2016.
I'm totally going to be pre-ordering all of them. Well, not all of them. I'll probably get Rey, Finn, and Poe. Sorry,
Kylo. It also comes with Kylo. If you don't want the Kylo pin because they come in a set, I'll take the Kylo pin.
Cool. Kylo is yours.
I'm all for it, yeah.
I am probably going to get, like, all of the Luke Skywalker. So I'm not going to lie.
You're going to do what everyone's doing with those Chewbacca mats with the Luke Skywalker pins.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm really, like... Because Marvel do pins at, like, New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con and stuff. And when I've got, like, the particular ones that I like, I'm like, I have to get them. So I've got all of the Hawkeye ones that they've released.
You know what you should do, Donna? You should buy some duplicates of these. And when you go to Disney World, because of the pin traders there, trade for some awesome pins there. Be like, oh, they'll be like, oh, wow, that's from Celebration. And, like, they'll trade you. Because there's some pretty cool pin traders out there.
What I love about this pin page is that they have the silhouettes of the pins.
So you can kind of guess who they are, right?
This is totally like, unless it's the Night's King from Game of Thrones, this is definitely Darth Maul that's coming.
And you know, this is, that's Padme Amidala right there, and that's Anakin. And honestly, since they're based on the emoji, you just open up the Star Wars app.
You can just go on the emoji app and just scroll through and be like, that one's that.
And like Yoda's pretty obvious, Jabba's pretty obvious, Maz is pretty, it's pretty like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I do like that there's a chopper button. Like, I kind of want chopper in R2 and BB-8 and C-3PO2, I guess. But, chopper, BB-8, and R2, definitely my droids.
How much are each of them? Because this is the problem. See, I'm not made of money.
Why not?
That's not what I heard.
I know. No, so right now, it's going to happen. I basically have to look at this. So the special selection of pins are available exclusively online before the show. Only to Star Wars Celebration Europe ticket holders. So I can't get them. I can't even order them since I don't have a ticket because I'm not flying to Europe, unfortunately. I can't afford that. So you'll get an email link, and quantities are limited. And so you'll be able to get two different sets. So the first set will be the four that we've talked about, Rey, Finn, Kylo Ren, and Poe. And then they're going to be releasing soon. They haven't said when, but they're going to be releasing before the convention again, is a droid set. So they're going to have those four released that we talked about, and then a droid set, and you can only get those before the Star Wars Celebration. Mm-hmm. At the Celebration, you'll be able to get the rest of them, and you'll be able to collect them and do all that stuff. So I don't know how much they're going to be because they're not available to me, but you will get an email. So probably in the next 50 days or so, as Celebration starts to wrap up, you'll probably get an email. So for those of you who are going, keep an eye to your email. And if you don't want them, you can, email me and I might buy them.
Yeah, I'm kind of like going, oh my god, they've got me because I love pins. I love them so much. Oh no, it's a problem.
Okay, now this next one, please say you guys have actually looked at this. So an amazing infograph was created by Martin Pouchad. It allows you to watch, I'm going to put that in quotes if you can't see me, but I'm literally doing like air quotes in the air, the entire Star Wars A New Hope movie. Check it out. I'm actually going to tell you the address. It's swanh.net, so StarWarsANewHope.net, swanh.net. And when you go there, it's an infograph. Everyone loves infographs of all sorts of different things. And this one is literally, as you scroll through, it starts off a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Way.
It's the entire movie, entire film, all the way through, done as an infograph. It's pretty awesome.
This is insane.
Right? This popped through my newsfeed today, and I was like, oh my gosh. What better way to celebrate the 25th Star Wars Day than with this amazing infograph?
This guy deserves money.
I know, right?
Like, let's just throw the money at him.
I kind of want to sync it up. Like, I want to download the whole thing and sync it up with the audio from the film and just have it play through scrolling. Like, that would just be like, because like, obviously you'd have to time the animation of it scrolling and everything, but it would be so good because like all the dialogue's there. Do you hear that? They've shut down the main reactor. They'll be destroyed for sure. This is mad. It's all there. Like, from the beeps and everything to, like, it's literally there. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
I'm just still scrolling and finding new things that I like diagrams of a blaster, even talking about the Jabba silhouette in the cantina. I mean, this stuff. And light speed looks amazing.
Does it not? Hyperspace looks, like, this guy did an amazing job, so... Yes, please check it out. There will be a link in our show notes. You have to look through it. It will take a while to scroll through if you want to actually read everything because it is the entire film. But it's pretty awesome. Like, I'm beyond impressed. If you scroll towards the bottom, like to see the Death Star.
Honestly, like this, the cell block on the detention level.
Oh, it's great.
Is amazing with the blaster fire about ricocheting off, and it has the diagram and the little pew-woo sound. I mean... Yeah.
Well, the artwork for the Death Star and, like, Yavin is just amazing. Like, the Death Star just looks beautiful. Like, it's a great vector art and everything, and then you get into, like, the Rebel meeting, and it's, like, the little dot, matrix 3D projection of what the Death Star looked like during the download. It's just awesome. So
this is the most impressive thing I think I've ever seen a fan make for Star Wars, and I can say that except for this podcast, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, it's something. This podcast is talking Black about this. So
this podcast is too, so ultimately we're cooler now.
Because we talked about it. So I have reached out to Martin, whether he actually responds to me, who knows. I would love to get him to talk a little bit about making this, just because I think it's just super awesome. And when it comes to like infographs, who doesn't love infographs? They have so much information and can really stretch out things to be way too long, but this is just absolutely beautiful. So check it out. It's really, really cool.
I should not be impressed with how amazing Alderaan looks like getting blown up, but it looks amazing. Holy crap. And it says,
remember
boom.
How cool it was when all those people died? Let's capture that.
I'm like, oh no, I feel like a terrible person, but this is beautiful.
Isn't it? Like, it was really good. Like, I am like thoroughly impressed with the infographic and everything. It's... Guys, please check it out. I can't tell anyone. Whoever's listening, stop what you're doing. Pause this podcast. Go to swanh.net. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's amazing. And then scroll through and then come back to listening to the podcast. Anyway.
By the way, happy Star Wars Day.
Yeah, today we're recording this on Wednesday the 25th.
Oh, we are!
Which
guys.
Is Star Wars Day. You know, 39 years ago. 39 years ago, Star Wars A New Hope was released. So, pop quiz to anyone listening and to those of you on here. How many cinemas was Star Wars A New Hope released in originally? How many screens did it have?
Ooh, I'm going to guess 135. I don't actually know.
Okay, Danya, your guess?
This is really hard for me because I don't actually know how many cinemas there were.
All right, so I know how many it was released. And I'm not going to say the answer right now. But this is going to be, I'm going to do an impromptu giveaway. So the person who can email us at contact@resistantradio.net first with the correct answer will get a free t-shirt. So we'll mail you a free Resistance Radio t-shirt if you can answer this correctly. All right?
That's really exciting. I'm really looking forward
to
that.
I totally just made that up right now because we're recording it, but I know
what
the answer is.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not give away something fun, right?
Well, I cannot. Look, I think the fandom has failed me, or I have failed as a fan, because it's 1,700 hours in the day, and this is the first time being reminded. Like, I didn't wake up today and go, oh, it's, you know, Star Wars Day, but I knew this date. I knew the anniversary was coming.
See.
But the fact that it's the 25th and it's today and we're recording this.
So you see, both A New Hope and Return of the Jedi were released on the 25th. Yep. And I'll tell you this, I actually almost tweeted out this answer earlier today on my personal Twitter account just to say, hey, you know, happy Star Wars Day to everyone. But I said, you know what, I might use it on the show, and I knew we were recording. So
yeah.
Go ahead, if you can get us the answer, tweet it at me, tweet it at us, or email it, and whoever gets it to us first, we'll do a timestamp, we'll get a free t-shirt. You can even say what size you want once we contact you back. Moving on to other news that's not just, you know, Star Wars Day news, is Lego's The Force Awakens video game, which again will be released on June 28th, we've talked about it, has released a new video. It's a Finn feature vignette, if you will, promoting the game. And of course, like all Lego humor, it's kind of awesome. I will say there's a scene in there. Did you guys get a chance to watch it? It's only a minute long.
I did watch this, yeah.
Okay. So there's a scene in there when Maz hands Finn the lightsaber and he turns it on. He's kind of playing with it. I just think back to like the special features when John Boyega was like, I turned it on, and then they had to do like multiple takes because I'm making the hum noise of vroom, 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 you know, lightsaber. And like he's kind of playing it, and Maz has to pull him to kind of move. I'm like, I think that was probably based on something real that happened. Like he was playing with the lightsaber, and then it's like, gotta move, gotta, you know, act. So Star Wars The Force Awakens Lego series returns June 28th, 2016. For every console imaginable. It's out there for PS4, PS3, PlayStation Vita, Xbox One, Xbox 360, Wii U, Nintendo 3DS, and it's also available on PC on Steam. So, lots and lots of different ways to get it.
Yeah, definitely getting this. Definitely getting the deluxe edition.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to get it for my Wii U just because it's going to be like, at least if you guys remember any of the older Lego Star Wars games, they're like one of my favorite games to play because they're just so much fun to pick up.
Absolutely.
I loved it on the Wii. You know, I had both versions for the prequel trilogy and the normal series.
I had it on
the
PS2, I want to say.
Possibly, yeah. But I
had
it on the Wii.
Been that long?
And I just loved it, and I love being able to just pick it up and go. And I have a Wii U is what I use, and I want to see how that integrates, because, like, of course, I'll still have the nunchuck, so I really want, like, the lightsaber to be the nunchuck again, so I can just wave it around and look like an idiot. But I'm going to get it for my Wii U, but they don't have a deluxe edition for the Wii U.
That simply surprises me. Because, I mean, I imagine, like, I just think of the deluxe edition as being, like, just a couple extra DLC packs, you know? So I'm quite surprised by that news. But yeah,
they don't.
But otherwise,
so I'm like, oh, well. All right. Well, moving on to our favorite smuggler, Lando.
What have we here?
Exactly right. Lando Calrissian. So let's talk about Lando Calrissian, guys. So first of all, before we get into it, like, I love Lando. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I love Lando Calrissian. This man is suave. You know, it's Billy Dee Williams, first of all. Like, come on. Like, how can you not love Lando? But, like, he's suave, he's awesome, and he really is trying to do what's best, not just for him, but for, like, everyone in general. And I know we have a conversation about this. And who else can pull a cape off like that? Like, Vader doesn't even look as cool as Lando in a cape.
Okay,
like, seriously,
that,
like...
I will agree with you. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Yeah, that cape, right?
Lando's cape, yeah. Absolutely,
yeah.
That's
Edna Mode would probably, like, be like, hey... No capes, but
No capes. Well, because we know what happens to capes with superheroes, but you know, but with Lando, she'd be like, "Yeah, just a little slick right there." It's like a little Colt 45. Yeah, like come on, everyone. This Lando Calrissian. I cannot say enough. I love Lando. All right, moving on to Lando Calrissian in the original series. We do have to talk about this. Is he the only black guy in the universe, and why?
I'm curious now.
So before we go any further with this, I also want to let you guys know, too, if you don't remember, when Finn was coming out, as announced as a character in The Force Awakens, and his toy came out, Amazon did something really interesting. They put his name as Finn, but they put his last name as Calrissian. And so there was a whole bunch of, like, just so for those who don't remember, like, when Finn came out as being a Calrissian, now, I don't think Disney or JJ or any of them ever intended Finn to be a Calrissian. I really don't. But, you know, if he is cool, you know, that's awesome. Because we know he was taken as a kid. We don't really know his family or anything. He might be a Calrissian. Again, that kind of dies down to the whole small universe type thing, because we see just the Star Wars, you know, the Skywalker family and stuff like that. But but the fact that Amazon put Calrissian on there made a bunch of people flip out. It's like, really? Like, you
the
have
only
Lando?
Black family in the
I know, it's
the
Lando
universe.
And Finn, right? But obviously, Finn is not a Calrissian, but... What do you guys think about this? You know, in the original trilogy, we see aliens of every shape and size, and the one black hero we see. Now, we don't know if any of the stormtroopers were a different race, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We don't. They're behind the mask. But the only character of significant role in multiple films in the original trilogy was Lando. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think about this?
It's a loaded question, isn't it?
I know. I mean, I know it kind of is. I guess it kind of is, right?
I'm just surprised that a movie, like, these days, I think it's a sign of the times, because watching Star Wars growing up, we've all had that story. Like, we've seen it hundreds of times as a kid. You don't think about that kind of thing. You don't necessarily notice. You're not necessarily aware that the casting department completely, like, missed an opportunity or did not, you know, that it was so one-sided, so ridiculously one-sided towards white actors or Caucasian actors. Very few Asian, very few any other type or race. And it's just something that I have to say, like, I'm so glad that conversations have come out. You know, I've read a few articles, too, in the past about, like, Lando and the problem, essentially, but also just what it means. But at the time, you know, you get just this sci-fi fantasy romp in space, and I'm sure it just went over a lot of people's heads that they weren't, you know, I'm not going to say this wasn't intentional on the part of the filmmakers, but it's interesting, because if they made that movie today, they would absolutely 100% be so much more taken to task for it, I think, on a much more publicly aware level.
You know, this is a loaded question, and I think you actually wrote the question out, Eric, but it brings back memories from a Kevin Smith film, Chasing Amy, if any of you guys have seen it.
I have, but I'm not sure what you're about to say.
So I'm not going to read it because it's, you know, we're not really PG completely in this podcast, but there's a lot of F-bombs and stuff inside here. But for those of you
just who... Just do your Chewbacca laugh every time instead of the...
So any of you guys who remember Hooper from Chasing Amy, he talks about how Vader is the blackest brother in the galaxy, right? And then, like, it goes on to talk about racism in Star Wars, because Holden talks about, you know, Lando Calrissian is a black guy, and he got to fly the Millennium Falcon. Like, so he's like, that's a positive role model, and then he's like, fuck Lando. But really it gets down to, like, talking about how Vader is also black, and then when you take the mask off, he's a frail old white guy at the end. Like, it's definitely, I think people take too much into it. Like you said, it is a thing of the times. You know, and really, when you look at the characters, like, in A New Hope, how many main characters are there? There's, what, a handful of them. There's Luke, Han, Leia, Obi-Wan, the droids who have no race whatsoever, and Vader, who actually only has 4 minutes of screen time. So that's five characters. So
not, and everyone else is in a helmet or in a mask.
Exactly. So it's not really, like, when it comes to, like, the whole race thing, I think it's just we're seeing these films from a very specific point, you know, from a certain point of view, if you will. So I don't think, I think it's just a sign of the times for Lando Calrissian. But he is definitely a good guy. And I know you asked, is he a good guy? So think back to when we first introduced Lando Calrissian. You know, he comes up to Han Solo and he says, you got a lot of nerve coming here. And then he instantly is like, hey, old buddy, you know, pal, you know, it's awesome, right? So it comes down to, but obviously we know in hindsight that he is betraying both Han, Leia, Chewbacca, the droids, because and by extension, it's a setup for Luke Skywalker. So he set them all up. Now, the reason for this was because they showed up before Han did. So do you guys think he's actually trying to do good for the city, for the people of Cloud City, or is he a good guy in general, or is a bad guy? What do you guys think? Because this is the first introduction of him, and we obviously know at the end he turned out, you know, good, but, like, at that first introduction, did you guys ever think he wasn't a good guy?
I don't think it's that straightforward, because we know what the Empire is capable of. Like, you think Alderaan is not going to be a secret. Like, that was a thing that the Empire did to showcase their might and tell people what they're capable of. Now, you think of Lando, who is there, and Cloud City is under, like, his control. He protects those people, he looks after them, he does everything that he can for them. Now, in the face of a whole planet having just been wiped off the map, like, wiped out of existence completely, I think that it's a very difficult thing to quantify, because yes, he has a relationship with Han, yes, they go back a long way, but they've just seen a whole planet get wiped out of existence. So if the Empire comes to his doorstep, what does he do?
Well, and it's not that the Empire just destroyed this. You know, remember, Empire Strikes Back takes place 3 years after
A New Hope. That's still really close.
I agree. And it's just, if anything, it shows you how menacing they can be. And I'm sure when they got their Death Star destroyed, the, you know, Empire didn't go like, oh, well, that's bad, we're going to change our ways and we're going to just hunt for them. No, they probably tightened their control. They probably became more ruthless in what they did, more corrupt and everything, just because, hey, someone is fighting back. We need to squash any type of resurgence, any type of rebellion. So that's why Empire is such a dark film. Well, not a dark film, but it ends on such a down note with the Empire winning everything. And so obviously when they come to Cloud City, I think Lando is pushed up into a, you know, rock and a hard place. You know, he really has, you know, he's thinking as the greater good. He needs to be able to protect the people of Cloud City. You know, he's leading them there. But he also sets up a plan to be able to try to help and save Han.
Right.
Han!
There's still a chance to save Han!
That's sort of my theory, my feeling on the matter, is that everything that Lando has coming to him for, the part of him that, betrays Leia and, like, his buddy, is pretty much carried out by Chewbacca in full in that moment, nearly killing him. I think from that moment forward, Lando's really able to redeem his actions. But ultimately, I don't think he's a bad guy at all. And I don't think he's a bad guy at all for what he did. But Danya and Mikey, you're both right to point out that it was a tough situation. I think, like, my favorite conversations in Empire happened between Han and Lando when he addresses the people. Like, he's essentially I don't know what you'd call it, like, the patriarch or the shepherd or the main guy, and he, say the mayor of the town, and he addresses these people telling them basically to take the escape pods and leave, that the Empire is upon them, that this is not sort of the safe haven that he thought it would be. Like, he essentially has like a direct responsibility to the residents, and I think it was really meant to be a paradise that was, and this is probably said somewhere in the dialogue, you know, a paradise that was free from a lot of those government restrictions that you find on the other worlds.
You know, yeah, it was a mining facility, you know, it was a mining territory for Tabana gas and everything. But, you know, it's interesting because I will say that when he announces it, it actually brings up one of my favorite scenes when everyone is kind of running away to try to, like, say, pull their, you know, they grab their most valuable item and they just run. And there's that scene of the one guy who's carrying the ice cream maker, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
We can't talk about Lando and not talk about the ice cream maker, right?
I've never seen this guy.
I've seen the earmuff guy 100 times. I've never seen the,
The ice cream guy is so cool. I've seen people cosplaying that. It's like my favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, all right, here it is. I'm gonna have to link to this. I might just have to tweet this out later today.
Yes, do it.
All right.
Ice cream guy for Star Wars Day.
There you go. Who's Eric, this take guy? A look at it.
I get it.
Okay. He's running around the corner. Oh my gosh! Guess what? Oh, hey, and you know what? He's got an ice cream maker. So,
you know, that could be carrying the disembodied consciousness of his wife. We don't know, okay? Like, it's Star Wars.
He just really loves ice cream.
Or he needs to make some really awesome Rocky Road. You know, I just don't know.
You know what? Actually, I think we found the second black guy in the universe.
There you go, right
in
there.
In the Star Wars universe. It's Ice Cream Man. Getting back to Lando, too, like, what Han says to him, like, I think, pretty much right off the bat, oh, so you're straight now, you're a straight man, like, in terms of you've reformed and, you know, you're no longer this sort of scum that I was. You know, all those talks about that, like, Lando was a smuggler, Han is obviously still a smuggler and soon to be in the future as well. We know that he doesn't quite reform the way that Lando does. Like, Lando's a stand-up guy, and he actually made something of what I think of his being like his earlier success, or his people skills at the very least are no longer being used, as it would seem, to deceive completely, but to run this city.
You know, it's interesting because when you look at Lando, now we have so much more stuff. We first get introduced to him in Empire Strikes Back, but we've also seen him in Star Wars Rebels. So you see him even when he was younger and just everything. He's not necessarily a smuggler per se. He did previously own the Millennium Falcon, but he's definitely like an old scoundrel, if you will. I see Lando as the kind of almost like a used car salesman. He's that really slick, slick talking. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love Lando Calrissian, right? But I see him kind of like a used car salesman, kind of like, hey, let me tell you about this right here. And like, he's trying to make a quick buck, and he's always in it for maybe not just for himself, but that's probably the highest priority. You know what I mean? Like, he's in it for, you know, he is a good person, but he's in it for himself in the end. And so I think that's where it comes down to. And speaking of him being the previous owner of the Millennium Falcon, we know he has a gambling problem, or at least he did previously, right? Because he lost the Falcon to Han in a game of Sabacc, right?
Well, I think his gambling problem is he just lost gambling. his gambling problem is he wasn't better at it. It's not that he's addicted, but I do think that, Han insists that he won it from him fair and square. And I actually, for something in the movie, something in the collective consciousness makes me think that that's probably not, like, I don't trust Han when he says that.
I totally won it from you. I was an upstanding citizen. Yeah. I won this on my own merit. That's how it went. No.
Well,
no,
it's also that, you know, when we look, we talked about Bloodlines last week, and, you know, there's a scene in the book where Leia talks about how Sabacc is just a game of odds, and she learned how to play the game from Lando and Han, and so she just wins a bunch in the game, in the book, which is great.
So it's
they're kind of these shyster guys. Like, I feel like they're like, you know, they're probably like high school type buddies. They got in a lot of trouble together. They weren't like, you know, they were good friends all the way through. Yeah, that's kind of where he came through. So obviously, let's talk about, again, Empire Strikes Back. You know, it's in Cloud City. He gets there, and he has a chance to save Han. And he almost instantly gets Chewbacca and Leia to trust him when they say this magic word. There's still a chance to save Han. Why do you think he's able to convince them, like, instantly on that? Is it just that their love for Han is just that strong that they instantly say, hey, we got to give every chance we have?
They have no option. I mean, Han vouched for Lando. Like, before the whole betrayal thing, and the relationship does have time to go sour because Han's being, you know, taken in for questioning and tortured, and Lando's like, I'm sorry. Every step of the way, Lando apologizes and is like, hey, I didn't know this was going to happen, you know, until ultimately Vader's presence is revealed. But I think really it's just the fact that he was so, I don't want to say polite, but like Han vouched for him first, and they of course love Han, so they want Han to be right about him. And then ultimately they really have no choice. They don't even have a proper means of escape from Bespin, from Cloud City, without Lando. So I think the appeal is in that you want to believe that he's telling the truth, and you really it's desperation as well.
And I mean, I guess there's also a little bit of they may not trust him completely anyway, because there's a certain amount of you can use someone in order to get to.
So it's like, okay, oh, you say there's a way to save Han. Well, let's see what you got.
You know? They're working together, but there's no trust there. You know.
Yeah.
You know your enemy as well. You know.
Keep your enemies close,
but your enemies closer.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll stop Chewbacca from ripping your face off now. But there's no promises that.
Shouldn't Chewie know Lando also? Shouldn't Chewie have some type of previous relationship with him?
That was something that was never built in the movies, but, you know, it would almost be hard to convey because Chewie doesn't speak. I think Chewie's thoughts on Lando are pretty clear because he attacks him.
Yeah.
So it mustn't have been that good of a relationship between those two specifically.
Or it might have been, and he feels doubly betrayed by
because they
had a closer friendship. So if they knew each other and had some kind of relationship prior to that, and then he's betrayed Han, then I would see that as being a heightened reaction because there's more history there. Like, that's definitely something that I can see.
Yeah, I can see that. So what about, like, his relationship with, like, Leia in general? Like, when we first introduced him, he's like, you truly belong here with us among the clouds. You know, like, super cheesy, just super thick, you know, just, like, laying it on, like.
I ship it, guys.
Yeah, like come on, who
I don't care. He's, hello, princess, you know?
You're shipping the LL, Lando Leia, you know, ship there?
Yeah, LL, I love it. That's
you know, cool. It's one of those things, like, I could just see him, like, being like, I would love to go to a bar with Lando Calrissian. Like, just go to the bar and let him just, like, I'll be your wingman, Lando. I just want to see what he does.
I want to go to a bar with Billy Dee too. I would love to have Billy Dee in a bar as my wingman, or I'll be his wingman.
So okay, so at the end of Cloud City, obviously, they're escaping from the Empire. They get the Millennium Falcon. They try to save Han. They're unable to. He gets loaded onto, you know, Slave One with Boba Fett. And they escape through with the Millennium Falcon. So Han, you know, Lando and Chewie are flying it. Leia's there. And she feels Luke calling. And he is the one who goes up to save Luke from the Cloud City.
Yeah.
So right. When he goes up to actually rescue him, even though he doesn't know who Luke is, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that scene always kind of freaks me out. Like, one, Luke is just dangling on, and I'm like, can you even fathom that? Like, This is a gas planet, right? So there's no ground. Like, he would just fall until, like, your body just gets crushed together from the gravitational pull.
You would suffocate from the high altitude, lack of oxygen in the atmosphere,
Yeah, well, not even just that. Like, you would be crushed because, like, since there's no land mass, it's a gas giant. You would eventually the gravity of the gas would just kill you, like, right? I don't know. Yeah. Like, how would you die in a gas giant? There's probably many ways, right? But really, like, he goes up there. He's got this little, like, it's like a really dinky carabiner holding him on, and he just, like, stands on top of the Millennium Falcon to go grab Luke. Like, that shows some courage. That shows some guts. And
he knew that door was there, too. I didn't know that door was there.
Yeah, you know, he previously owned it, right?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where he went up to save Luke, and obviously at this point, like, there was no, like, second guessing, no argument, no nothing. Like, he just wanted to go save their friend. And he doesn't know who Luke is, but obviously he knows, you know, the whole Empire, everything. He had to be somebody who's important because, you know, Empire came down to Bestman just specifically for this guy, and he's going to help him save it. So obviously, I feel like by the end of Empire, he has definitely redeemed himself completely.
I mean, this is the thing about Lando as well, especially with saving Luke, is that I don't think. Even necessarily with Han, that he wanted anyone to get hurt. Like, this is the thing about Lando, is that everything that he's done for the good of the most people. Like, so the reason that he basically sells Han out is to save more people. And
that he's responsible for.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's very in keeping with that even though he doesn't know Luke, that he would go and save him. So, like I said, it's a very conflicting kind of thing because, yeah, okay, we've been rooting for Han and Leia and all of those characters since the beginning. Like, that's the whole point. That's why they're our central trio. But at the same time, you kind of look at it and you're like, well, when you really break down what Lando is doing, then it's kind of, he's not a bad guy. He's just turned on one of the characters that we're supposed to be rooting for, but his reasonings for doing that are not necessarily bad.
He
doesn't realize the implications of, like, exactly what he's done either.
Yeah.
Because it's the Empire. The Empire will manipulate and move situations to their best advantage.
And they completely lied to him, too, about the conditions, right? He's like, oh, this deal's getting worse and worse.
Yeah. You know, he even says, you know, Vader even tells him, make sure I don't, be careful I don't amend the deal any further.
Yeah.
So, obviously, his deal was something like he gets on. And, you know, the other thing I've always wondered is, you know, when they do the whole carbonite thing, where they take Han, freeze him in carbonite, and that's the trap for Skywalker. You know, I'm wondering if, like, obviously Cloud City has a carbonite chamber. So was it Lando who's like, hey, you know, why don't you do this to, like, prevent someone from being killed? Like, I'm almost wondering if he, like, even set it up so that way there was always going to be a chance to save whoever was being, you know, taken by the Empire.
Right, it's like, it's sort of a humane option.
Versus just killing somebody, right?
Because you can survive if it's configured properly. So it gives somebody a chance. Yeah, I like that. I like that actually a lot.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just something I've always thought about when it comes to Lando. Is like, was he working in the background, working against Vader for that specifically? So going into Return of the Jedi, we're introduced to Lando again very early on at Tatooine.
And he's got some new teeth.
Yeah, he's got some new teeth, a new garb, a little getup, and he is dressed like a bounty hunter, right? But so was Leia, too. But yeah, so he comes in dressed as a, you know, bounty hunter, and he kind of does the nod to Luke when Luke's plan is going to unveil and everything, and then he gets beat up pretty quickly to fall towards the Sarlacc pit. You know, and he actually puts faith in Han, who can't see it all, right?
a little higher! Yeah, that whole thing is great comedy, great physical action, and, like, It's the choreography and the character work that's being done right then and there. That's a highlight of Jedi. I mean, not to mention it's like the big escape sequence in the beginning of the film, which sets the rest of the events, like, on a higher, more enjoyable pedestal. But I love that comedy and those two characters working together even though, you know, it's like, hey, are they enemies? Are they frenemies? Are they friends? Now, what exactly is the deal? But Lando really, I think it illustrates, the beginning of Jedi, like, illustrates, like, Lando's firmly on their side.
Yeah, and he made it that he's like, he stuck with them. You know, again, Return of the Jedi is about a year after Empire. So this plan has been worked for a while. Luke has become a full Jedi at this point in time. Even Han doesn't realize, like, Luke, he can't even take care of himself. He's a Jedi now. A
Jedi Knight. Right? For a little bit.
Everyone's yeah, like, exactly. So Lando comes in, and he's, you know, he's this linchpin. He's there scoping it out beforehand, making sure the droids are okay and everything. And, you know, and it's interesting because he just kind of fits in that type of place. You know, he's that smuggler, that scoundrel guy. So he just kind of fit in to make sure things are right.
That because he gets into Jabba's palace completely and nobody's suspecting of him. And he doesn't have Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah.
To do that. So that's pretty cool, actually. Point Lando.
And he was there before Leia got there or Luke got there. And so he was just kind of hanging out, scoping it out, you know. And obviously there was a plan that had to get in place to get them all there. But the fact that Lando was able just to kind of hang out in Jabba's court long enough to just be there, and we didn't even notice it until he started to make eye contact and nods and everything. So much so that C-3PO didn't even know that he was there. Definitely is kind of interesting for it, you know, as a character type thing. All right, so after Tatooine and Jabba the Hutt, we obviously have the big thing in Return of the Jedi where it's the second Death Star. And Han is going to Endor, and guess what? Lando gets to pilot the Millennium Falcon!
With, is it
Nine Nub, which is all, he's Nine Nub also. So here's what's interesting. You see Nine Nub, who piloted the Millennium Falcon in Return of the Jedi, he comes back in The Force Awakens. Where's Lando? How come Lando was not in The Force Awakens? I'm going to go on a rant here. Like, seriously. Nine Nub came back. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm glad Nine Nub came back. Like, Nine Nub is awesome. Like, the Sullust, you know, he's like everyone's favorite Sullust. But come on. Where is Lando Calrissian?
That is actually a question I asked immediately after getting out of The Force Awakens. I was like, wait, but where's Lando? Like,
you had Admiral Akbar, you had Nine Nub. I guarantee you Billy Dee Williams was not like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, he's like... He'd be like, well, hello there. I'm back in The Force Awakens. Like, he would be back in a heartbeat. I am sure of it. Disney, what happened there?
I don't even understand why he just wasn't part of the Resistance, like, at all. Unless he was off on a mission.
He could have been on a mission. I hope he wasn't on in the Hosnian system.
No, did I say that? Oh, gosh, I said that. No,
I am sure, I'm confident. Look, he should still be alive. The thing is, that movie was all about getting rid of the old crowd and setting up the new crowd, or at least setting up the new crowd, that they had to really pull, I'm sure. Like, they really were careful about how much old stuff to show. I mean, simultaneously, it's a love story to the old crowd, so I can totally see why Lando would show up. But in terms of, I mean, the fact that they even hid Luke from the entire film until the very, very, very last moment, it gives me confidence that there's a story to be told and that Lando could still realistically show up. But it's just that the story wasn't focused on him and couldn't afford to focus on him at that time.
All right. I'll give you that. Like, I get it. Like, I remember interviews that JJ said, like, the reason they put Luke as the MacGuffin at the very end was because the minute Luke is on screen, like, don't get me wrong, Han Solo still, like, when Han Solo comes in, like, there's that whole thing, it's like, Chewie, we're home. Like, everyone's like, I don't know about you guys, but the first time I saw it, and probably like the second and third time I saw it, like, everyone in the theater just was like, yeah, awesome. Like, Han and Chewie are back, right? Because they're just these iconic characters. But they played well with the new characters. Whereas they said every time that Luke came out on screen, you know, he totally stole the show. Like, you know, Luke versus Kylo Ren. Yeah, he's the only one you care about because it's this Skywalker story. It's like if Luke was battling Kylo Ren at the end on Resistance, on the First Order base, who would have won? Luke would have won. Like, it wouldn't have been like, you know, he's not old enough to be like the Obi-Wan Kenobi Vader fight where it was just kind of like little lightsaber hitting. Like, he would have won. So I get why they kept Luke out of the story to push, you know, develop the story and develop the new characters. But Lando, like, I don't know, like, in the extended universe, Lando Calrissian, he had a good relationship with Han and Leia and their kids after, you know, Return of the Jedi. Like, this is all in the EU. So in canon now, you know, with the new canon, like, I can't imagine them leaving him out in the cold. you know, even with a young Han Solo film, I want to see a young Lando Calrissian in that film.
It would be a tragedy to exclude Lando. Lando's a great character. I love Lando. Even this having this discussion about him, just like, man, what a cool dude, you know? And the fact that Billy Dee is still around, still acting, not retired like Sean Connery, and, you know, still presumably up for it, there's no reason not to, in my mind. You know, you have some fans, you know, a lot of the criticism I've read about Force Awakens from friends of mine, or heard, you know, in conversations, like, they either loved all the old stuff and didn't want any of the new, or loved all of the new and didn't want any of the old. And there will be people who complain if Lando shows up, which is silly. It's ridiculous. But, you know, because they want just the new story or something like that. But, you know, ultimately, I think it's all about the marriage. It's all about the story, what happened, the history. At least if The Force Awakens was Han's film, more so than it was Luke's and more so than it was Leia's, then we're promised at the very least that, you know, if any of these peripheral characters show up or if Lando shows up, we'll still get a really meaningful reaction to Han's death from The Force Awakens. And hopefully, like, I mean, that's the one thing I'm looking for forward to Luke doing is not just reacting, but almost atoning for his absence. And I, you know, I expect Lando to be pretty upset that he missed it and wasn't there to help as well.
Yeah, I'll take that. So going back,
I was gonna say that, like, the thing that's really different between, like, The Force Awakens and the next Star Wars film that we're getting is the fact that there's no time jump. So anything that's going to be happening is going to be happening immediately after The Force Awakens, as far as we know right now. Like, they've been talking about that in interviews. So
and before we get into that further, like, do you guys think the film is going to be directly after A New Hope, and then there'll be a time jump throughout the film? Like, you see that there's time passing?
You mean The Force Awakens? You said
yeah,
A New Hope.
Yeah, sorry. And The Force Awakens. So we know Episode 8 takes place right after The Force Awakens. Like, literally, it picks up on the same planet, same scene, Rey holding lightsaber to Luke.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
This is the first Star Wars film to do that, where it literally takes place right afterwards. But do you think in the film we'll see passage of time? Like, obviously the training and everything is going to happen, or at least we assume it's going to happen, and that's not going to happen in a day or an hour, but it's going to take some time. So do you think there'll be a passage of, like, 6 months in the film that we see? And, like, the characters evolve, and that's when they're able to bring characters in?
Somehow I doubt it. I want to say that the thing with the Star Wars, and this is all six films have been this way, is they managed to pick for the film a time and place where enough is happening, right? To make it an episode of Star Wars. This just, you know, I was watching Revenge of the Sith recently, and that's when it all comes to a head, from the moment where the assassination of Count Dooku at the hands of Anakin to eventually the fall of the Jedi happens within a week or three, you know, and All the films are like that, where it's like, oh, they happen to be escaping Hoth at the beginning of Empire, but that leads into this whole other protracted thing. So with The Force Awakens, obviously, or with the sequel, with Episode 8, it's obviously very different, because I would absolutely hate if they skipped any of the Rey and Luke stuff. I want every minute of every day captured on film with no training montages. I want everything. I want the film, I've said this before on this podcast, I just want the film to be Rey and Luke. But obviously, there's
You just want to see Luke Skywalker getting a piggyback ride from Rey. Like, that's really what you want.
Yeah, I want Chewbacca. I want Chewie to tear his hand off, I guess. But still, like, and I'm not angry at Luke, but I want to see him, like, actually deal with having to come back into the fray. But what I mean to say in terms of, like, how it relates to the passage of time, too, is, you know, even if Lando got back to the Resistance base, like, as soon as he could after seeing or learning of the Hosnian system being destroyed, like, say that he was just somewhere off on a mission, maybe it was less important, but he sees that happens and then tries to make it back, that's an opportunity for him to show up right away. But the bad people, the First Order, I just said bad people, I was trying to think of their name, hello stalling, the First Order doesn't really have time to build a big weapon. Like, that's going to be, that's why I think this film might be more akin to Empire as well. There's not going to be this big Death Star, big Starkiller base. The threat is going to be more personal, because there's simply no time to build another space station if the story is taking place right after.
Yeah, and it's going to be more personal. Like, we know that there is vendetta against all the characters. You're going to see Kylo gunning for Rey. You're going to see Phasma gunning for Finn. Like, it's going to be pretty direct conflict.
Well, first, we're going to see Phasma crawling out of the garbage chute in sort of like a backstory. that's my one thing. Like, again, you were talking about the Lego trailer, but like, they show Phasma getting shoved down the chute. Like, I actually wish we would have seen that and would have seen her crawl out, but I think it just probably wasn't important enough. But
yeah,
it's an interesting thing for the characters to take place right after. But I kind of think that there won't be a time jump, just because all the episodes have managed conveniently to pick a time where a lot was happening and just show the natural sequence without needing to jump in the middle of the story. I think it'd be too jarring to do in Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, and then also, remember, going back to Return of the Jedi, where we kind of got sidetracked to The Force Awakens, you know, he flew the Falcon at the, you know, at the end of the Death Star. It was him and, you know, Wedge Antilles that ended up destroying the Death Star. So he was kind of like the Luke Skywalker of, you know, Return of the Jedi, where he literally was the reason that Death Star blew up. And he was promoted to general pretty early on because of his heroics at the Battle of Tanab, where basically, just to give you an idea of the Battle of Tanab, it's only mentioned there. It was basically he took on, he defended the planet against a fleet of pirates, you know? And that's kind of Lando is. Like, obviously, we talked about him doing everything for the greater good for the most people. You know, he defended a whole planet, whether he was doing it for the Rebel Alliance or just because he is this slick, you know, space pilot type guy who's like, hey, guys, let's all get together. We can do this. We can save the planet.
He's a war hero. He's a legend. Rey probably heard stories of him as a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, we know that Finn knew about Han Solo as a general, the Rebellion general, so obviously Lando is a Rebellion general also.
Yeah. I really hope that we haven't heard or seen the last of Lando Calrissian and Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian. Obviously, you mentioned before the Han Solo backstory. Yes, I'd love to see Lando show up in that. That's a great opportunity to have that character come back, but I think, you know, I'd love to see him in the future.
All right. Anything else about Lando before we talk a little bit, just briefly, about some of him in the extended universe or in the comic book? There is a Lando comic book that started last year.
2015. Does he have a cape in it?
Oh yeah, of course he has a cape. Like he,
they kept the cape.
Of course he has a cape.
Yeah. Come on,
it's Lando Calrissian.
I mean, I just assume his cape would have gotten like caught fire to at that point. Or we know what happens with capes, Donya. You mentioned this before.
I know.
Yeah, so, you know, Lando Calrissian, obviously he's this interesting character that we know, and he's integral to our traditional trio from, you know, the original trilogy. He becomes part of them, he helps them out. To compare him to something else, I would say he is the Neville Longbottom to the Harry Potter trio, maybe. You know, he's there, he's important, but he's not the main character.
Okay.
You know? Right?
I like that. I don't think anybody else fills that role as well.
You know, I was trying to compare him to something in Game of Thrones, but too many people die in that series. Yeah, so I was like, no, I don't want Lando to be someone who dies.
That juju on it yet.
Nothing like that to Lando. But yeah, so if Lando was to come back in anything, you know, do you think they'll get actually Billy Dee Williams to come back, like if there was in Episode 8 or something?
Yeah, I want that a lot.
I want that as well.
All right, so what about in a young Han Solo?
Also want that. I think, you know, the young Han Solo film might actually break the mold of what I was saying earlier before about time jumps. Because it would be most interesting to tell the story of him, like, first as a child, then as an adolescent, then as a mid-adult, and then as whenever, however old he was when we met him on Tatooine. Like, you know, I just kind of see that spin being more than just, unless it's the origin story very specifically of the course of several weeks where he and Chewbacca got in like the life debt to each other. Like, you meet Chewbacca. And then, you know, if that happened at a certain point in his life, then you can kind of hint at through dialogue where he came from and show kind of why he's going to Tatooine. You know, I just kind of see that being more of a time jump thing. But I think Lando should be, I wouldn't say like the biggest, like he should definitely just be, if not just in passing, he should be a part of the story because we know him from the future. Like, that's just good storytelling, is incorporate as much people that the audience is going to react to that they already know as you can. So, I mean, I think, I just think with, going back to Force Awakens though, real quick, Warwick Davis, like, is technically in the cantina at Maz's, under heavy prosthetic and stuff, but it's like, well, that was the only role they could get him, and it's not, you know, there's no lines or anything in that movie, because it was an already crowded film. It really gives me hope for Billy Dee coming back, and, like, Lando, and, like, more time being spent on, even giving Leia more screen time.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well. But also, for a young Han Solo movie, the part that I would probably be most interested in is learning more about Lando.
And yeah. For those of you who don't know my love about Lando Calrissian and a young Lando Calrissian, I personally think Donald Glover should be Lando Calrissian in the Young Han Solo film.
Hashtag
Donald Calrissian on Twitter. That hashtag actually exists.
You shared this image. These images. I love this.
Right? Like, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think he could play, you know, he's a little bit older than what Lando would be.
Yeah.
But he still looks young, and I think he would be able to bring that same suave, kind of charismatic character, especially when you see him, like, when you see Lando in, like, Rebels. Like, I feel like, you know, Donald Glover could do it. But obviously, whoever they end up getting, if he does show up, and I hope he does show up in a young young Han Solo film, that Lando, they'll do it right. I just hope they will. Because Lando is such an interesting character. And like I said, I love this character. Not because of anything other than he is the opposite of Han Solo in a lot of things, because he's not that kind of brash, you know, that brash smuggler type character. But he's
capable
of
being a diplomat.
He's capable of being a diplomat. He's got a silver tongue. He's definitely a scoundrel still, though. You know, so it's like in this wild, wild west style that is the galaxy of Star Wars, you know, he is the businessman. He's the car salesman. He's like, I'm going to make my way in this world, and I'm going to leave a mark on it so people know who I am. And, like, that's Lando Calrissian. I love him for that. All right. Anything else about Lando Calrissian, guys? Like I said, there is a comic series about him. There's 5 episodes. I have it, but I haven't had a chance to read through the 5 comics myself, just because I'm behind on so many different things. Anyone else? Ideas?
No, I think I'm...
Nothing but love for Elsie.
I know. Lando Calrissian.
Yeah. Hashtag where's Lando?
Hashtag where's Lando 2017, right?
He was really fun to talk about.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. This was kind of a short and sweet episode. I feel like we covered a whole lot, too. But yeah, so anyway, thank you all for listening to this episode of Lando Calrissian. Again, we do have that contest going on that I literally made up on the spot. If you know how many cinema screens that Star Wars A New Hope was released on, you know, just how it was released in North America. So how many screens in North America on May 25th, 1977, was Star Wars released on? How many cinema screens? You can look it up in the Star Wars app if you haven't, if you don't know. But it is there, and I will go ahead and give someone a free Resistance Radio t-shirt. But as always, thank you for listening. My name is Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Eric Skull.
Yay.
We will see you at Indie PopCon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye now.